Reach for the sky, boy. As the crowd erupts, we are taking a look at the 38-year-old brother of Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe. Mark has been at the side, a blessing of Jay Briscoe, since day one here in Ring of Honor. Too young to compete in the initial Ring of Honor event in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I had the privilege of traveling down the roads with Jay and Mark, sharing music, sharing stories about life, love, and family. When we reached the Chattahoochee River, we didn't see a river, we saw a river of light, love, hope, happiness, and peace. Here tonight, Mark will take us to the river. Mark Briscoe and one of his great friends and longtime rivals, Jay Lethal, go one-on-one. And we'll go to the voice of Ring of Honor right now, Bobby Cruz, for our official proceedings.
This podcast is scheduled for one fall. With a 60-minute time limit coming out of the black corner, a combined weight of 666 pounds, recording to you from the end zone. I'm your boy, Xander Hobbs. This is
Bobby Joe Cool Burrows B.
And once again, we're bringing you another edition of the
WrestleOcalypse
in review.
It is upon us.
All right. First things first, we're a little behind the curve, but we still want to give our respects. RIP to Jay Briscoe, one half of the tag team champions, the Briscoe brothers. He passed away in a car accident last week. And we just want to pay our respects because this happened very suddenly. It's never cool when someone passes away, but especially like this. And we're going to try and tribute this around him with certain things, but we just wanted to say rest in peace to Jay Briscoe and our condolences to Mark and the rest of his family.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. It was a tragic loss. And, you know, if you don't know who he is, I recommend get jumping on the YouTube machine or the Daily Motion machine. And there is a ton of great matches, and we're going to highlight some of them. We've highlighted some of them all throughout 2022. So yeah, rest in peace, Jay Briscoe. Super sorry to see you go. Wish that all these people who are paying your respects would have showed you the respect you deserve when you were still alive and the work that you and your brother did, for an often unforgiving business. So, thoughts and condolences for sure. And as much as we are saddened by Jay Briscoe, in some ways, I think I'm sickened by the dastardly return of the villain Vincent McMahon.
Yes, he is back. And some people are saying that he's just back to oversee the sale of the company, but a lot of moving pieces are doing exactly that, moving. And Stephanie McMahon resigned.
Unexpectedly.
Nobody saw that coming. And then a couple of the top tier people got moved out. I forget what their names were, but a lot of stuff on the business end is rolling over.
Yeah. And Wall Street approves. You know, it's funny. The title of this episode is instantly irrelevant because literally after we recorded the last one and I talked about how, you know, the Triple H move seemed good. WWE stock was up, but he's back. It's up more. There are some shareholder lawsuits that are happening. So there's, like you said, a lot of moving parts. But I think one thing that anybody who's followed wrestling long enough maybe doesn't know for sure, but I think we all have the feeling that there's no way that Vince comes back and doesn't run creative. Unless the whole deal is, it's going to be a sale and then he's not going to be involved at all. But I don't see that happening either.
Well, what he said too, what I remember seeing, that he said the people that he wanted to sell to, that he wanted them to know that he'd be part of the creative process. So he's eventually slithering his way back into there. Like, there's no way he's not going to be a part of it if he's back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's his entire adult life and career has been doing creative for WWF and WWE. And lastly, I do think it's interesting. And there was a lot of smoke that he was going to sell out to the Saudi public investment fund, which also I think a lot of people gave credence to because of of how sudden Stephanie McMahon resigned, because obviously women in power and Saudis, and it's not always that doesn't always go hand in hand. But for now, we are keeping our ear to the streets to try to figure out what exactly is going to go back and what this is going to look like. I don't think it's going to affect WrestleMania season. And I think depending on how WrestleMania goes, dictates a lot.
Right. I agree with all that.
So we will see. But we are more importantly here to do our last 2022 recap of the WrestleOcalypse. It was a hard-hitting year, and we couldn't have done it without you guys, with your mailbag questions, with your suggestions for Get Rid of Ones, for the love of the WrestleOcalypse playlists. So without further ado, let's jump into this mailbag.
Let's do it.
All right. First one comes from Broken Matt Jackson. Happy New Year. I've been a wrestling fan since the 80s and have always enjoyed managers in wrestling. Why do you think we don't see as many managers these days? And do you think they could still be part of wrestling?
Well, I think the fact that you don't see as many managers, well, at least in WWE, which is what I'm assuming you're getting at, is because they don't want to pay them. But I think that, because it's like a tag team, you know, if you have a manager and a wrestler, you got to pay for double, like tag team, you pay them double. So, you know, they want to pay the one guy. But the thing is, too, I think they could still be part of wrestling, because a lot of guys in wrestling can't talk. They're not good on the mic. And that's why you need guys like, look at Heyman and Reigns. Perfect. It's a perfect combo, because Reigns has stepped up his game on the mic. Let's admit that really quick. But with Heyman there, like, it's been double. And Heyman hasn't even really been saying much anyway. So, but it's just that aspect of it. It just brings in another wrinkle to make things more interesting for certain wrestlers. I'm not saying every wrestler should be strapped with a manager, but, you know, we should see some managers with wrestlers, at least mouthpieces, so these guys aren't drowning when they're on the mic.
Yeah. And I definitely think you're right. There is a lot of economics involved. It's hard to carry a manager on your payroll when you're releasing over 40 wrestlers saying it's budget related. Right. But definitely, I think we saw, like, you know, MVP certainly with what he did with the Hurt Locker. Like, you could see the value of a manager, like you brought up Heyman from the WWE side. AEW seems to use managers a little more liberally.
They got them. They got quite a few of them.
Almost so. Too many. It's like the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah. Like, there needs to be a nice, you know, even balance.
Yeah. But I also think, like, you know, part of why the managers worked back then was just because the whole presentation of the product was different. True. It was like match, promo, backstage promo, like, and now it's so different. You're doing all these cinematic things. And so the manager maybe doesn't quite have the importance, because you can tell a wrestler's story in so many different ways.
Correct. You
know? So even if you can't talk, like, you know, you do these vignettes of them, like, you know, it's like there's different ways in which they can present people, which I think also is done. And then, like, if you're really into wrestling, I don't know, maybe there's just not as many people who want to be managers.
Yeah, that's another good point. I didn't think of that.
It's like there's so many more options now and ways to be involved. And, you know, maybe that's just there's not. And I think also shitty managers like shitty wrestlers, right? There's no, like, they don't add anything to the product. So
true.
But I like the question. Moving on to, I would suggest this is Sir Michael Caine. But depending on who you prefer in the movie, the Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. I know you guys don't cover New Japan too much, but I was just wondering if you tuned into Wrestle Kingdom. I really enjoyed Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay from a storytelling standpoint. I'd just like to know if you guys caught it. What were some of the matches you liked? Yeah, so I didn't catch all of it. I caught the little bit that the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks, what are they calling her now? Something Monet?
Mercedes Monet.
Mercedes Monet. I definitely caught the Ospreay Omega match. And then I did see the Jay White wrestled.
Yeah, he wrestled Okada.
Yeah. Those are the three I caught. I didn't see the rest of the program. Obviously, we've talked about it. New Japan's platform is very difficult to navigate for English speakers, and they're on in the middle of the night, basically. But yeah, that Omega Ospreay match was, I mean, early front runner for match of the year.
Yeah, that was definitely the match of the night, I thought, despite Jay White and Okada being for the title. I caught the Kairi Sane match and whoever she fought, just, you know, so I could see Mercedes Moné now. I'm going to have to get used to saying that. I caught the FTR match, which was good. They dropped their titles. But yeah, Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay was great. I like how they still protected the one-winged angel. And it was nice to see Ospreay wrestling from underneath most of the time. But I don't think they're going to be done. I think they have another match lined up. I'm not sure when, but I have to check my archives on that. But yeah, it was good from what I saw. I didn't catch all of it, but I thought it was a good one. And I'm excited to see Mercedes Moné and New Japan.
Yeah, me too. I was surprised, you know, at, like, I think Ospreay, obviously he has a certain reputation. You look him up, you're gonna find some of his matches with Ricochet when he was a smaller dude, different wrestling style. And then obviously Omega's Omega. There's a reason why, you know, he's derisively called Twinkle Toes. But like, this match was hard hitting.
Yeah, it was.
With crazy spots.
Yep. And both of them were busted open. Well, one, Ospreay was busted open. And then Omega had that swollen eye. I forget which one it was, the left or the right. I forget.
Yeah.
One of his eyes was swollen.
So, and I agree. I haven't heard exactly what the match they have lined up is, but I did read that, you know, backstage notes were that they purposely did. They have things they've held back, the two of them, for what they want to do in a future match. So,
right. I can see that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if anybody gets off Ospreay to come full time to America. He seems to, you know, he has a home in New Japan and he seems to like it there. But I think right now, I mean, he's as probably as hot as he's ever been.
Yeah, for sure.
So I love it. We're big fans of Will Ospreay. I'd like to see more of him, but
I'd like to see him hold the title again, the IWGP title, because he had it for only a short amount of time and he had that injury, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah. And then, like, also, I was wondering, I know it was maybe just like a thing for the Forbidden Door, but like, whatever happened to Aussie Open?
I don't know.
I love that little stable thing they had going. They were fun to watch.
Well, the United Empire is great.
Yeah.
Like, they're awesome. It's Aussie Open. What's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? Jeff Cobb. And then TJP. So with Will Ospreay rounding it out. Great stable.
Yeah, just real quick side note, because you mentioned TJP. MLW is coming back. I saw that too.
Yeah, I have to watch the latest episode. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't either, but we're excited about that. When we get back on our normal schedule, we'll be able to dive into the sweetest hour of wrestling.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I digress. Next question up, Magic Mike Sharp, one of the three. All right. Happy New Year. Declarative statement. I like it. I just want to know what we can look forward to from the Wrestlocalypse in 2023. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Just to be more consistent. That's like, well, my first thing was, but I know both of our schedules are real busy. So, but we're recording this for you on a Monday and Monday seems to be our clear days. So we can probably work something out with that. But as far as content goes, our content changes with the content that you see on the TV. So, you know, that's what we mainly bring to you. As far as new segments, I'd like to get more interviews done. I know we've been saying that we kind of came off of it a bit, but we're going to try and have some new interviews with you. I'll get our buddy Scott from Cornerstone Fitness, maybe one of our buddies from Ladney Custom Base, Greg, can be on. So we have some stuff in the mix. You'll just have to keep listening to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's true. You know, a lot of what we do is we are reacting to the industry as a whole as it happens, commenting on it. But I definitely agree. We have lots of fun sharing the interviews. We like getting the guests on. And, so hopefully we can make that a bigger part of our cool shit segments. Definitely we're going to continue to populate an awesome playlist on Spotify, which everyone can check out. And we'll just keep rocking it, man. We're doing the best we can. We appreciate everybody who's patient with us and still checks out the episodes, even though they're maybe not as on time as they were earlier. But, you know, we're works in progress, aren't we?
All right, next.
John Woo's understudy. With Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné in New Japan Pro Wrestling, do you guys see her signing with AEW in the process? I don't know, man.
I don't know either. I don't even know why she'd want to.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's like a real, there's matches she wants to have with people in AEW, but they can still do forbidden. They're going to do forbidden door shit. Like,
right.
You know, I think more she's, I don't know. I felt like she kept pretty quiet about all of her thoughts and feelings on it. But I know that from what I read, that she was pretty emotional, a little bit nervous at Wrestle Kingdom, but that she's like totally looking forward to this new part of her career in New Japan. And, you know, I'm interested to see how she crosses over. I think if it doesn't go well for her, AEW becomes an option only because they can pay her. But frankly, I probably would rather see her in like Impact.
Yeah, because Impact seems to have the better women's division right now. And I'd like to see her go up against Mickie James. That would be awesome. So I agree with all everything that Bobby said, so I don't really have anything to add to it. As far as her going into AEW with the New Japan, like I said before, I don't see any reason to. I still think out of all the women's divisions, I think AEW's is the weakest out of all the promotions. So I'm not sure if she'd wanted to even be in there. So that's just my opinion though.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think like 2023, she's got a lot to prove, right?
Right.
After how things went in WWE. I mean, we've said it here over and over again. In 2020, her and Bayley were workhorses for the promotion to keep WWE going. And they put on awesome matches. They're great. So, you know, I'm hoping that she's happy and that translates into her putting awesome fights together and just keep doing what she does.
Absolutely.
And I do want to just touch on one thing. I think like one of the biggest disappointments is AEW's inability to do anything since their inception in having like a cohesive women's division. They have these really high points, like, you know, the Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa lights out match. Crazy good. And they have so much garbage. Like, I'm sorry, and this is nothing against Jade Cargill. There's no reason for her to be 49-0 or 50-0 or any of the way they've booked that. It's terrible. The thing with Nyla Rose was terrible. And that doesn't help any of these people either.
Booking her like she's like the best in the division and she's carrying the secondary title. But then with her with this undefeated streak, it's almost more prestigious than the world title or the main title. So that part doesn't make any sense. If they, you know, they keep building her up and for what? Who's going to end up beating her? Like nobody in the main storyline section has had any contact with her or talked anything about her. So they can't just pull this out of nowhere. So I think that's one of the worst things AEW has going on right now is the Jade Cargill stuff. But, you know, that's, I've been saying that ad nauseum for a while now.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, it's very reminiscent of like a WWE thing where they have a physical specimen and they want, they push and push and push with no real plan on how it affects the roster, the stories, or even the wrestler themselves, you know?
Exactly. But
that is the last, this is the first mailbag of 2023. It was a strong one. Looking back to move forward, that's what we're doing.
Yep.
So we are moving onward and upward.
But just real quick, if you want to get in touch with us and be on the mailbag, you can get at me, Xander Hobbs. That's XANDER_HOBBES on Instagram. No Twitter machine. Bobby, where can they find you?
You can get me on the Instagram at WrestleOcalypse. Sounds like it's spelled like it sounds, but you know that because you're already listening.
All right. Now we're on to match of the week of the year. And you have quite a few different choices up here. So navigate me through this.
Yeah. So I went through them and I just picked out someone, what I think were the tops that I liked the most that I think we both, you know, going through had ranked really high. I thought they were really good. The 2013 New Japan Pro Wrestling Kizuna Road featured a young Okada, very young Okada, and what I would say in his prime, Prince Devitt.
Yeah, this is a prime Prince Devitt too, and I thought this was a good match. I'm trying to remember back to it, if there's any like high points that I remember, but I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it was good. And I like the young Prince Devitt. I think probably we chose that at some point. We were talking about the Bullet Club and that whole thing. So it was relevant and timely. So it's an honorable mention. And I think these are the top three that I picked. So we've got 2008 Ring of Honor, Tyler Black. Some of you may know as Seth frickin' Rollins. And Bryan Danielson, some of you may know as the best wrestler on the planet.
Yep.
And I loved this match. I loved how they worked together. Just seeing a young Seth Rollins, how complete he was even back then. And like, you could see they were both going to be freaking huge stars. The other top three that I have is 2010 Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. The Kings of Wrestling versus the Briscoes.
Yes. And the Kings of Wrestling consists of Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero with Shane Hagedorn and Sarah Del Rey managing them. I thought this match was really good. I just saw this the other day. The Kings of Wrestling, they're just a great tag team. And on top of that, we've sung the Briscoes' praises forever. And just seeing these two guys get together, there's a lot of shenanigans in the match. But it was still really good. The Kings of Wrestling came up on top with some shady means.
Yeah, but I loved it a lot too. I hadn't seen a lot of Claudio's Ring of Honor work. I came to be a fan of his when he was Cesaro. So I really liked seeing that. And Chris Hero doesn't get enough credit for as good as he was.
No.
Or is even, you know. So that was really good. And then, yeah, the Briscoes. We've seen their praises. Obviously, they were going to find their way on this list no matter what, because that's how good they are. And so the last one we highlight was the Ring of Honor Final Battle 2021 World Tag Team Title Match, the Briscoes versus the OGK.
Another good one.
Yeah. Yeah. This was good. I tip my hat to the 2010 one with Claudio Castagnoli. I just like that one better. When I went back through and watched them, the 2021 though is like the modern day Briscoes that you're used to with the dreads and the whole thing. And it was really good. And then obviously it sets up this match sets up the entire 2022 where the Briscoes and FTR put on probably three of the greatest tag team wrestling matches
ever
series. So, because at that point, FTR at the end of the match comes out and they end up brawling.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing that. I was like, holy shit. Like, it's going to happen. Like,
yep.
This is actually going to happen. FTR and the Briscoes. And so for that reason, not only was it a great match, but also that was this catalyst to this incredible run that both FTR and the Briscoes had in 2022.
Well said.
So if you haven't checked it out, check all of these out. 2010 Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship for the Kings of Wrestling. Definitely check out any and all of the Briscoes matches we've highlighted. You can get a taste. They've got a nice little 11-minute video Ring of Honor put out kind of as a tribute, but do the work, put the time in, go watch some of their full matches, because you'll really be struck by what a talent they both are, certainly, and what a loss losing Jay is. So
absolutely. 100% agreed.
But we don't just watch wrestling.
No. Now we have our watch of the week of the year.
Yeah.
So all of our hard hitting stuff that are non-wrestling that we watched throughout the year 22.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, man. So my number one thing that we found 2022, What We Do in the Shadows. I love it. It's totally inappropriate, not safe for work, not safe for young children, vulgar, vampires, violence, hilarious, mockumentary style about vampires living on Long Island. So very, very funny. Love that one. I do have to say I was, Betty Rebel started watching it and I really enjoyed Wednesday. I liked how it was like it's like a mystery. It's like a detective story, and they bring in all the characters we're familiar with. Aesthetically fantastic, just really, really well done. And then we really got into the Top Chef. So I watched a lot of Top Chef in 2022. Really enjoyed specifically the Portland season. I like Charleston and I like Houston. Those are the three that really stood out. We just finished up like Masters and All-Stars and stuff. And they're fun. They're good. But I think like the challenges and some of the chefs in those three seasons really stood out. And then obviously I got to see all of those chefs, most of them compete on TOC, Tournament of Champions, which didn't make it in my list, but it's an honorable mention because to me, it's one of the most fun cooking competitions with the whole blind tasting and the whole randomizer and just how it can go sideways so quick for some of the greatest chefs in the world. So
yeah, that made my honorable mentions too, but because there just wasn't enough of them on.
Yeah.
But my list, this is in no particular order, but I do have Wednesday on as well. I just think it's a great show. I haven't quite finished it yet, but I'm getting there. Hell's Kitchen. We've been watching a lot of that. And then especially this new season, Cobra Kai, which was really good. Getting hyped for the sixth and final season coming up. I think that comes out in March. And then stuff that I watch by myself is like Frontline PBS, just really informative things. I really enjoyed that. That's about it. Those are the top things that we've been watching of the year.
Yeah, man. And if you, any of our loyal Wrestle Acolytes out there, if you have something really good that we should check out, a good documentary, maybe, you know, just something that you caught that you really like that you think we should check out, drop us a line. Like we said earlier, you can get at us on the Instagram machine and we'll check it out. Definitely. Always looking for some good content.
Exactly. All right. So this is going to be a rough one. Offsides and delay of game. Champion.
Yeah. Conference. You know what's not good content? NFL football.
Exactly. Conference championship games on tap. And we have, so who's on tap? We've got the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Cincinnati Bengals and the Philadelphia Eagles versus the San Francisco 49ers. So I don't know. It was a rough day yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like it's kind of deja vu all over again, where the Cowboys are at a point where they have to get rid of their coach. Like, the coach isn't going to get the job done. And if you, it's like, it's the Jason Garrett thing. It's the Jason Garrett shit all over again.
But then they have to do something about Dak Prescott, because this is his seventh year and he's still making these same mistakes. I know he's got a huge contract that they can't get out, but they need to restructure it. Something, you know, because this team's not going to be the same come next year. People are going to be gone. Dan Quinn's gone. Kellen Moore might be gone. So if we're going to leave it in Dak's hands, then the thing is, that's what happened yesterday when Pollard went down. It was in Dak's hands, and this is the result we got. And this is the result we've been getting all year long.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some validity to that. But I would also argue, like, you know, Kyle Shanahan has Brock Purdy going to the NFC Conference Championship game. Like, coaching schematics matter. And having a coach whose best days are maybe right now, not 7 years ago in Green Bay. Like, I think it's time to look for someone who can step in and, like, has a more modern system. And yeah, like, Dak Prescott needs to stop throwing interceptions. Like, it's interesting how much, rightfully so, flack the kicker has been getting, but it's like, stop throwing interceptions, dude. Like,
he leads the league in interceptions. The Cowboys lost by 7 points, which is the two interceptions that they got 6 points out of because the defense stepped up, and then the missed extra point. It was blocked, but it wasn't going in. So they have some problems that they need to iron out, because they do this every single year, every year. And it's getting pretty tiresome.
Yeah. And it's like, there's a lot of hubris and a lot of ego, obviously, when you own what probably the most valuable sports franchise on the planet.
It is the most valuable franchise. So,
but at the same time, you also need to understand that you're not bringing a dumb coach in like Barry Switzer with a stacked roster and getting the title anymore. The league has changed. It's not that way anymore. And they start behind because of they're going to be outcoached at the head coach position, in my opinion. And he just isn't going to get them over the hump. Like, that's the case. Like, he can't get Dak to fix it. He doesn't have schematics. It's like,
I don't think McCarthy is either, but I just I think Dak's shown us who he is. He's been in the league for 7 years. You can't, you know, just change that. And it showed, you know, like, how many quarterbacks are, you know, I hate to use the example, but it's like, you don't see Eagles fans going, well, we'll see which Jalen Hurts shows up or which Patrick Mahomes shows up. Like, it's like that with Dak, though. You know, you don't know which one you're going to get. And we got the one that we didn't want yesterday, and it showed. And I don't care how good he played against a team that in Tampa Bay that didn't even belong in the playoffs. So, of course, he's going to sit back and be able to make sandwiches in the pocket, but not this time against a way more balanced team. And the defense did their job. Props to the defense, because they held them to one touchdown. They shut down McCaffrey. They shut down Deebo Samuel. But still, Dallas found a way to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did. So we'll see what happens. We both could be wrong. Maybe there's... Who knows? Who knows what the team looks like next year? And we'll, you know, get on the ride for another tumultuous year of Dallas Cowboys football. Right, but as far as the championship games, I don't know, man. Do you think this is the year the Bengals get over the Schneid?
They look real good. They've been looking good for weeks now. So
yeah,
and they threw that beat down to Buffalo in Buffalo. So that's pretty clutch.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing, I didn't watch the whole game. I watched a little bit of it. It seemed like the Cincinnati fans are traveling well.
Right.
You know, which is like good for them, you know, but I felt like Buffalo kind of almost got, you know, there was a lot of who day chants.
There was. I heard those.
So that's like, you know, that matters, I think. They've beat the Chiefs the last three times they've played them. And Mahomes has a high ankle sprain.
Right.
So I think the Chiefs are still favored, but I want to say last time I looked, I think it was 4 points. It could have been 4.5. But I think the Bengals are the team to beat in the AFC. So I think they come out of it to the Super Bowl. I don't know about this NFC championship game.
I don't know either.
Because I haven't watched a lot of the Niners. I know there's a lot of rooting and tooting about their defense.
It's number one.
Right. And they, you know, they held the Cowboys to 9 points.
12.
But how much of that was a function of Dak giving the ball away, you know, and then Pollard breaking his leg and going out?
Yeah. So,
Jalen Hurts is he's a bad man, dude.
I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens with the top defense and then a top offense playing each other. So we'll see what happens. I don't like either team. So I just hope the Bengals beat whoever's coming out of there.
Yeah, I would love to see the Bengals hoist the trophy this year.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I don't like Andy Reid. So I'm not rooting for the Chiefs.
I'm just tired of the Chiefs, dude. And I'm tired of like all the same people being in there. Like, let's get some new people in.
Yeah, and I don't like Kansas City because when Bo Jackson was playing outfield for the Royals, they were so vulgar to him because he was the running back for the Raiders. So right. you don't mess around with Bo Jackson in my house.
No, definitely not.
So here's to hoping the Bengals win it all. Joe Cool Burrows.
Yep. There we go.
There we go. All right. Moving onward to the greatest segment that we've ever thought up. All across the land, people clamor for it. They want to know who's staying, who's going. They want to know who we're getting rid of in our Get Rid of One of the Year segment.
Of the year.
All right. So I've made some notes. And I've picked, I think, my top three. Oddly enough, they were all earlier in the year, but that's just how it goes sometimes. All right. So from episode 90, we got rid of one of the Ninja Turtles.
That's right.
And not only was it a great segment, but Xander came through quoting the theme song and describing that Michelangelo is indeed a party dude. And I think Raphael is rude or something
he's cool, but rude.
Yeah, that one was really fun. I really liked that one. I really liked from episode 95. This one was a Xander special where we examined the four of the best bands from the new wave of American heavy metal. Nice. We were asked to get rid of Shadows Fall, Killswitch, Lamb of God, or As I Lay Dying. And then with a bullet from the top episode of the year, episode 100, where we looked at getting rid of some of the greatest champs, Hogan, Reigns, Lesnar, and John Cena.
Oh, I remember this one. This one was quite controversial.
Yes, 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 indeed. After rumors and innuendo throughout the IWC for years, Xander finally came out as the head of the Sanation. and he single-handedly took the shovel and was burying Roman Reigns.
Only because the match quality and the other people that were wrestling John Cena was better than the match quality and the people wrestling Reigns. The Reigns character I like better, but the John Cena feuds I thought were better. There we go.
Yes, yes. I think it devolved into us yelling at each other that they don't put anybody over. Which, to be honest, none of these guys that I named put anybody over.
No, but to be fair, Cena did put Punk over, and he did put Brian over. So those are two guys that turned into big stars. The people that Reigns has put over, that's a fat zero. So
yeah, yeah. I mean,
and he's had the belt for two fucking years and counting. So, and both zero people have gone over.
Yeah. So obviously we got rid of, well, Xander got rid of Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
So it was very controversial. We don't often get heated like that, but that's why I picked that one, because it was fun. I think overall it was a good discussion, and it really goes to show like how important it is to keep the titles, not bouncing from person to person, but they have to be moving or there's no point. Right.
Right.
Like,
and if you book the person so strong, like I know, like in the days of Hogan, I mean, and maybe this is me looking back because I was a kid and I didn't really know any better, but it's like Hogan kept the title for 4 years and there just seems like they're trying to run it like that. But this is a different era. Mm-hmm. You can't run things like that anymore. And the problem is Reigns is a heel. So it's like, if you don't have any good baby faces, then it's the same problem. It's the Hogan problem, but just with a different character. So like, don't get me wrong. I like Reigns. So all you tribal chief people, don't get mad at me. I like him, but it's time to let go of the title, or at least break him off into one, have him get rid of one of them, even though it's the undisputed championship. I don't know. Just get the titles off of him. That's all I'm saying.
I definitely agree. Although I am enjoying the feud with Kevin Owens right now.
Yeah.
That Sokoa Owens match was good.
Sokoa Owens was good. Sokoa is just good, period.
Like, I think he's the best.
He is the best one out of all of them. I agree with that.
He's a revelation, man. It's like that, the dive he did onto Owens on the table. Like,
yeah.
That was impressive. And I love the Usos. We're down with the Uso Penitentiary.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, that's not taking anything away from them. I'm just so surprised. Like, they made the right decision to get his ass off NXT.
No, I agree. Like, that's been one of the better pickups that they've had in a while that's actually done well.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that. So, all right. We're moving on. This is probably the fans' favorite segment. I think it's probably our favorite segment as well, because we are passionate about the music we listen to and passionate about making sure that you're not listening to crappy music, that you're listening to good music like us.
That's right.
So why don't you tell us what you thought the walkout music of the year was?
Well, my walkout music of the year, I just went off one of my bands of the year that was on my Spotify. And so I went with Simulation by Avenged Sevenfold because I just think this album is just off the chain. Like, if you haven't heard this whole album, you need to hear it. And on top of that, it's Avenged Sevenfold is one of my most listened to bands of 2022. So if you ever get the chance, go listen to The Stage by Avenged Sevenfold and listen to all their other stuff, because it's really good too. But this one especially. So check it out again for your listening pleasure right now. Reverse the wager I've no means to pay. Toto is pulled back, the green tonight inside. New bills come with such disdain. But I warn the shades for so long. Rises, but who dares to pull the strings? I know this may be hard for you to believe in all, but you only exist because we allow it. I questioned all the voices in my head. All they might know have I been misled. All right. See what I mean? Now go out after this episode, listen to the album.
Yes, indeed. That's a good one. I like that. Avenged Sevenfold, definitely. They've got some really great albums and interesting evolution as they've gotten older.
That's right.
So I kind of boiled it down. I really liked, I think one, this was one of yours, Asbestos, the KK remix.
Yes.
I really like this song by Belvedere called Chromatic. I think that was one of mine. I really like this song I told you about, Behind the Veil by a band called Try Dying.
Right. That's a good, that was a good song. I like that.
It was a good song, but I have to choose Record Setting. Never happened before. Made it onto two episodes, same song. And I'm going with Blacken the Cursed Sun by none other than Lamb of God.
Yes.
It is so good. We included it as an interlude and as a walkout music. Two different parts of the song, made it That's in right. two different episodes, unbeknownst to me. And it's just a, it, I love that intro, man. I just love the, I just really, really enjoy that song.
It's unprecedented.
Yeah, unprecedented indeed. Not like COVID though. Just no, like, no. like, wow. So one more time and the last time, the third time being the charm. Here it is. Blacken the Cursed Sun by Lamb of God. There we go, man. Put a pin in that one.
Absolutely.
Well, usually we would talk about, we do our Inside the Ring segments. We had been kind of talking about the territories. I don't think I'm prepared to really dive into, what are we on the third episode now?
Yeah, I'm not prepared either. I've only watched half of it.
Yeah. So I think on that note, we can finally put 2022 into the archives with everything good, bad, and ugly that it brought with us. Again, as always, really appreciate everybody hanging in there with us, listening to the episodes as they come out. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. Keep sending us mailbag questions, television show recommendations, get rid of ones. And, you know, we'll keep trying to do this as best we can.
And since we can't top that, yours truly, Xander Hobbs.
Ours truly in this world, Bobby B.
And we're just reminding you to show empathy, be kind to the planet, protect animals, and support the WrestleLocalypse.
Booyakasha.
Reach for the sky, boy.